Today's scripture reading is in Colossians 1, verse 15 till 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is therefore all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death of present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard, and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and which I, Paul, have become a servant. That is the word of God.
As you know, today is Good Friday, and we celebrate the cross. And I find the cross interesting because we see the cross nowadays as an ornament or a thing of fashion, something you put on. And it comes in all shapes and sizes. You see big crosses, small crosses, gold crosses, wood crosses, Baroque crosses, Gothic crosses. But if you think about the cross, the crucifix, there's nothing fabulous about, there's nothing glamorous about the cross. It was an instrument of death. It would be as if people tied around their neck the electric chair, a miniature electric chair. It would be as if we mounted on our churches the guillotine. In fact, the guillotine and the electric chair, they were invented to provide a swift death. But the crucifix, its function was to lengthen the physical agony, the mental torment, the public humiliation of its victim. It was employed by the Roman Empire against any enemy of the state, whether bandit or rebel. It was the worst form of torture and death at the time. And yet, on this crucifix, we find, most famously, Jesus of Nazareth. Who was Jesus that such a punishment was reserved for him? Well, there are many modern interpretations of who Jesus is nowadays, relatively modern. Some say he was a prophet like Muhammad. Some say that he was a good moral teacher, a peace-loving hippie, a revolutionary of sorts. But none of those fairly new interpretations will do. We have to look at the earliest sources of who they say Jesus was. And actually, the earliest sources we find are in Scripture. The passage we're in now, Colossians, the book of Colossians, was written by the Apostle Paul, who at one point was a great adversary of the church turned advocate. And many people say when he wrote this letter, it was only 20 to 30 years after the death of Jesus. Not only that, but the passage that we're reading in particular, Colossians 1, 15 to 20 or 23, most people say, most scholars suggest that it was a quote from an even earlier creed or hymn sung by Christians. And so it's a very close description spoken probably by many of Jesus' contemporaries. Now, normally, when you go further away from the date, the stories of a historical figure become more far-fetched, more grand, more mythologized as legend. And yet, uniquely to the case of Jesus, the closer we get, the more grand the claims of the personhood of Jesus is. We shall see in our passage that they claim, contemporaries, people living during the time of Jesus, probably some of them, his companions, say that he was nothing less than divine. Look at it with me. Verse 15. It says in verse 15 that the one who was crucified was the image of the invisible God. That is the God that we have always longed to know, that humans have always sought out, because innately we are spiritual. You know, we create all these religions in different shapes or forms. Monkeys don't do that, but we've been spiritual. Now, don't get me wrong, they've got it wrong in who they were looking for. But finally, through Jesus, that invisible God is finally made known. We continue in verse 15, we learn that the one who was crucified was the firstborn over all creation, a form of rank, a title of rank, which indicates his preeminence, whether private or general, duke or dictator, king or queen or emperor, Jesus reigns high and above all of them. In fact, not only on the earth, but in heaven, he reigns over the spiritual forces. We learn in verse 16, strangely enough, that the one who was crucified created all things. All things was created by him, that he imagined the stars into existence, that he formed all the planets, that he, all the celestial bodies, that he molded earth, that he poked its valleys, that he pinched its mountains, that he created all the vistas that we see, whether desert or tundra, a forest or field. He created. And he created all life. He spoke life into existence, and he breathed life into humans. We learn in verse 16 or 17 that he holds all things together. That Jesus, even while he was being crucified, was sustaining the life flow of blood in every living creature, who was measuring the tides of the sea, who was controlling the waxing and waning of the moon, the rotations of the earth, the course of every planet in the solar system, who kept the stars inflamed. And if Jesus, by any chance, while being crucified, weakened and withdrew his sustaining hand, all creation would instantly blip into nothingness. And we learn in verse 19 that the one who was crucified, well, the fullness of God was in him. That he wasn't just the way to make God known, but he was the way to make God known because he was indeed God himself. That Jesus was God. And it was Jesus, God himself, who human beings in their sin fastened on that cross. But it was God himself who planned it. Why? Why was Jesus on that cross? Why was God nailed to a cruel instrument of death? Jesus was nailed on the cross that transform it from an instrument of death to the doorway of life. Because an infinite being, because God himself, when he went on that cross, he infinitely satisfied justice. He infinitely displayed his love. And he infinitely now offers us grace. You see, it had to be Jesus. It had to be God who died on the cross. Let's say, for example, let's say I died on the cross for the world. Just for an example. Let's even say I was sinless, which is absolutely false. I'm a terrible person. I must confess, on youth group last Wednesday, some girl told me not to eat her snacks. She gave me cut-eye. And then when she wasn't looking, I ate her snacks. So, not the best person. And yet, let's just say for the sake of the argument, I was sinless and I died on the cross for this world. My death would be effective for a grand total of one person. One person. Because it says in the law of Moses, an eye for an eye. My life is equal to one other life. And that's why it had to be Jesus Christ, who was indeed God, the supreme being, the infinite being. So when he died on the cross for our sins, and as he died as a human, and as he died, in fact, sinless, his death would be effective for all people, for all time, for all good. That's why Jesus on the cross could say, "It is finished," right? So it no longer matters how much people go to him. Anyone can go to him. All people can go to him. And all people can be saved if they go to him. And it doesn't matter how far you've gone or what you've done. It doesn't matter about your past, the shames that you can't even forgive yourself. Hey, guess what? Through Jesus, you can be forgiven completely. His grace is an overwhelming ocean. And when you come before him, and when you put your faith into him, you become his church. And that process of death, which all humans must confront, changes and reverses to the process of life. So that one day, forever, we may be in the presence of God in complete fellowship. And so my question and my challenge for everyone today is, where do you stand? Have you put your faith in Christ Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Do you put your hope in not you, but in Christ alone? And if that's the case, then God's grace and God's love will overwhelm you like an ocean. This is the word of God. Or this is Colossians.